Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
All right, Andy Lee has joined us in studio. How are you?
Grand, Evan. How are you?
You're here. You tell us to renegotiate your contract because things have changed in the world of boxing.
Well, I've come here to announce in lieu of this $365 million contract to Canelo, I am making a comeback.
I would say that went through your head.
Well, I was thinking, geez, I could have stayed around a few more months. Might be in with a shot of getting some of that money, but...
So $365 million for an 11-fight deal for Canelo Alvarez. That works out at $6,083,000 per month, $197,000 per day, $7,500 per hour, and $138 per minute.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Is he worth it?
No. No one's worth that money. He's officially... the highest paid sports person in the world now, when you consider like Cristiano Ronaldo, Messi, LeBron James. This guy surpassed them all. And
doping pays.
Well, that's one element of it. It's a little pep for boxing in terms of, it's nice to say that the highest paid athlete is the middleweight champion of the world. It's a nice little thing for boxing to hold. It's a title for boxing to have. But when you look into it and you realize that this guy, less than a year ago, failed for steroids, for clenbuterol, drug test, and now he's being rewarded with this huge contract. It just goes to show you that the powers that be in boxing don't give a damn, yeah.
If you were still fighting, would it piss you off the way he's been treated over the last year? Like, do you think it has any real effect, his treatment, the fact that he's back, that he's bigger than ever?
I'd say that...
get away with it?
I'd say not. If I was still boxing, it wouldn't, because you kind of accept the game for what it is and nothing surprises you in terms of boxing. But I'd say... I'd spare four for Gennady Golovkin now and how he feels, having a lot of people really considered he won the first fight. They were set for the rematch and then Canelo fails the test. He takes a fight in between and then a year later, he's a year older, he's had one more fight. They come back and then he loses the rematch. And after that, since then, losing that rematch, his TV network, HBO, have now decided to step away from boxing after 45 years. And he's left without a home almost. And his arch nemesis, the guy who he believes cheated him, not just in the ring, outside the ring, has now been rewarded with this ludicrous contract. So I'd like to know what's going on in his mind at the moment.
Yeah, do you look at this contract then and boxing as a whole and see this is out of kilter with where boxing is right now, or is it a rising tide lifts all boats? And actually for Gennady Golovkin, when he's now looking around to sign a new contract himself, that actually the money that's out there available to him may not be at this level, but may not be far off.
Well, the big fight is the trilogy. Golovkin versus Canelo. And now with this big announcement, he'll know what's on the table and what's could be available to him at some percentage. I'm not sure if Golovkin has 11 fights in him, you know, the way Canelo has signed for this amount of fights within the contract. And, you know, this contract might never be fulfilled. If Canelo loses his next fight or the fight after that, then it's surely null and void by that.
Well, I was going to ask that and your experience of signing contracts in boxing, because
there's always a stipulation.
That's what I was going to say. The figure is thrown out there, $365 million. Like, is the way that works that if he wins 11 fights and he becomes one of the greatest boxers of all time, if he's not already, basically, is that the only way you get the fight and you tick certain markers in terms of viewing figures?
I'm sure there must be some sort of incentive or... because from him, why wouldn't he just coast for 11 victories? You know, he's fighting Rocky Fielder next. He's stepping up to super middleweight. Rocky Fielder's the super middleweight WBA regular champion. And it's a testing that he's stepping up in weight to fight a champion. And Rocky Fielder's no pushover. But in all purpose and regard, like, Canelo is a heavy favourite for that fight. Not many people give him Rocky Fielder a chance, even though I don't completely write him off myself. What would stop him from doing that for 10 more fights after this fight in December?
Well, presumably in
that's
the contract.
What you'd say. You'd hope that there's something and in the custom stipulation that would force him to increase his competition as he goes on.
It is a 5-year deal, so the boxing world can change quite quickly. But when you look around right now, the exciting fights that can justify that sort of deal, away from Golovkin, who else is there from?
Golovkin. Away from Golovkin, Golovkin is the biggest challenge for him. Danny Jacobs is fighting Sergey Dovbychenko in October, the end of this month. That will be for the IBF title. So that will be another unification bout. And also this weekend, on the same card as Katie Taylor, Demetrius Andrade fights for the belt that he was supposed to fight against Billy Joe Saunders. So that will be the WBO title. And both of those guys are signed Brady Hearn, so they will all be in the same platform, you know. And
but really, Golovkin is the only one who potentially could break.
In terms of terms of the like crossing over to the non-sports fan, like a rematch with Mayweather, if that was ever, if they could ever pull that out, I'm sure Mayweather. Like I know, I said it's a real coup for boxing to have the highest paid sports star, but Mayweather's always been the highest paid sports star. Whenever whatever year he's competed, he's generated the most money and earned the most money. And I'm sure he's probably looking at this money thinking, well, I've beaten that guy once. You know, he always stays in shape and maybe I can come back and beat him again.
I could just fight Khabib.
Well, that's another one that's being mentioned. That would be...
Farcical?
Yeah. Oof, yeah, well, it'd have to be... Unless it's in an octagon, it's only going to be a one-sided bout.
Yeah. From what you've heard from Mayweather, do you ever think there's something in him, ego-wise, that would... want to come back when he looks at that sort of contract for Canelo?
Well, there was some talks of him having a return match with Manny Pacquiao before the end of this year. It seems to have quieted down now a lot. Coincidentally, Manny Pacquiao signed with Al Haymon, who was Mayweather's advisor, and looks to be fighting Adrian Broner. So, as you say, the boxing world can change so quickly. But I think Mayweather's ego could tempt him back, and the money. It's his nickname, Money Mayweather. So, I think it could be... could entice him to come back.
Yeah, we shall see. The money, I imagine, is slightly different for Katie Taylor this weekend when she defends her 2 world lightweight belts. She faces Cindy Serrano on Saturday night in Boston. Serrano's a one-time world featherweight champion, but really it's her sister that is the star attraction, and this is just a stepping stone to a fight between Katie and Amanda Serrano?
That's the story that's being put to the fight, but it's treacherous territory for Katie because she can overlook Cindy Serrano. She's a tough competitor and she has won the world title herself before. And it's probably a little unfair on Cindy, and she'd probably be reading all this stuff herself and will be motivated by it. And it's a big chance for anyone who fights Katie Taylor will always step up their game because she is the one they're all aiming for. You know, she has the target on the back and they will perform better than they have performed before. So.
Katie also more willing to take a chance because she is a natural featherweight and is stepping up a couple of weight divisions. Is that the attraction of Katie that you want? Like it's the main event.
Yeah, and you're on the big stage, and you know if you like Katie Taylor has the same kind of aura, or presence, or kind of renown as Mike Tyson did in his heyday. You know, and for someone to beat Katie Taylor, if Cindy Serrano beats, it would be as big as an upset as Buster Douglas.
Really? Like,
yeah.
It's at that level?
Yeah, it definitely would be. It would, like, Katie Taylor is the marquee name in female boxing. She's flying the flag.
And is the feeling that she's pretty much unbeatable?
Well, she's getting closer to those fights now where there will be a question of if she can win or lose. No, if she can lose. And, you know, interestingly enough, Amanda Serrano has retired from boxing. And I'm just, like, looking at it from the outside, I think it's just a negotiating ploy. She's retired from boxing and is focused on MMA and had her MMA debut recently. And
Amanda Serrano's won world titles at 6 different weights?
Yeah.
So this is the grand comeback,
fight. Yeah, and it will be a great build-up. But first, Katie has to take care of business on Saturday.
And she is the headline act because of all that's gone on with Billy Joe Saunders. Does that affect a fighter mentally, being the main event?
Well, she's the main event in terms of an attraction, I think. There's also there's 2 world title fights on the card. Belfast fighter James Tennyson is fighting Tevin Farmer. it's a featherweight world title, IBF world title, and that's a huge fight. You know, it's a great card for Irish sports fans, boxing fans.
Yeah, Niall Kennedy, Sean McComb on the card as well.
Yeah, so it'll be a big atmosphere there for all the Irish. I'm sure they'll be well supported. But yeah, Katie's always been a headliner. Even if she's never been top of the bill, she's always been a star attraction, and especially with all these big undercards on Joshua fights and with her previous fights. I don't think this will be any different.
And it's seen in some ways as been a test case just to see how far her popularity does reach in America. Again, is that something that you think about in the week of a fight, or is that something you're thinking about 3 months ago and you somehow managed to blank out? Or there's an expectation to perform, to entertain.
Yeah, well, everybody's different. Katie's always had that willingness to engage, the way she fights, and so inevitably she's entertaining. You know, I think I said it on Off the Brawler, if she boxed to her skills as she wanted to, she could probably make these very much one-sided fights where she just dominates and wins on points. But I think she's taken that upon herself to kind of put it up to the male boxers and show that female boxing is a sport that should be taken serious and makes these fights entertaining. All right, the way she fights.
She's happy to make it a bit more of a
scrap. She's happy to take some punches in order to land her punches. And she doesn't have to do that, but she does do that.
Are there many fighters out there like that?
McLaughlin did it sometimes, but when he knew he could do it. And maybe in some ways Katie knows she can do it, but she's going to have to be careful now as she steps up a competition.
Katie had a huge amount going on around the 2016 Olympics out of the ring, and we'll never fully know probably how that affected what went on in the ring. But in terms of complacency throughout her career and a fight like this where, again, there's an expectation that she'll just go do the business, it'll be entertaining, and she'll roll on to the next big event. Have you ever seen any signs, even as a professional, that she's looking at her opponent and overconfident?
No, I think Katie's she's the consummate professional. You'd see, because her documentary is released, I think, on the 26th of this month. And there's been some promotion about that, and so there's been some early screenings, and she's been down to do some Q&As, but she's avoided it all and usually sent her mother to do those things. And what that says to me is that she's taking the fight serious. She's away in Connecticut, she's training hard, and she's fully focused on the fight. And she's always had that kind of pitfall that she could fall into, because she's expected to win every time, and she wouldn't, it would only be human, you know, to have those thoughts of, I'm going to win this fight anyway. But she's always kind of ticked every box and prepared immaculately. So from the outside, I'm not inside in the camp. You never know what's going on. There are always injuries and there are always things that happen
that we don't know about.
But she seems to be on point.
And also, and I know you're saying this, you don't feel it really is the case, but when it's a fight that's seen as another stepping stone towards another fight, do you go through game plans in a fight like this that will last you to the next one? Particularly, I guess, when it's two sisters.
Yeah, and there could be similar traits between the two of them that Katie will identify, and she might want to work on that. And it will add some spice to if eventually she does end up fighting Amanda Serrano, that she's beating her sister. You know, I'm sure Amanda Serrano will be there, possibly in Cindy's corner, and that will be possibly a little distraction for her.
Yeah,
knowing that her future opponent is there, and that they're sisters, you know, and that they'll be plotting against her. So that might be a little distraction.
It means, in a way, I guess, with all you're saying then about that Katie's willing to go and entertain, that she may be implementing a game plan that will suit her against a higher quality opponent, that it's very hard to actually read into Katie's performances, because there's a whole lot going on aside from her just going out and starting the fight and wanting to win as quickly as she can.
Well, she always does that anyway, you know, but I can see at times her willingness to engage to make the fights better, you know. I don't think she's been involved in a dull fight yet. I know she's only had a handful of fights, what's it, maybe 10 fights at this stage of her career, but they've never been dull, even though she's been a couple of leagues, if not more, ahead of her opponents.
It is a really busy weekend for Irish boxing. Jason Quigley is in action tonight. He's fighting Fede Hernandez in California. That is on around 3 a.m. It's going to be live on Air Sport. We've spoken to him quite a bit, Jason Quigley. He's working with Dominic Ingle. When you're watching Jason Quigley tonight, are you trying to see the sort of effects that working with Ingle has had on him?
Yeah, it's really the second fight together. And there's a unique style to the to the Ingle Gym in Sheffield, how they box. It's very, how would you say, it's an elusive style. They usually fight with their hands low, and it can be described as quite flash, but it's also very effective, and there is some substance to it. So it'll be interesting to see what changes he's made and how he's, because he was based in California for a long time, and we'll see how he's adapted now to life in Sheffield.
That sort of flashier style then, does that come natural, do you think, to Jason Quigley?
I think so. He's not short of confidence. I wouldn't call him cocky, but he's a very confident young man, and it's interesting because there was a video of him today or yesterday, today, with Bernard Hopkins, just posing with for the media, and you can hear down the video, Hopkins leans into one of the reporters and says, listen, this guy's a future world champion, mark my words here today. So he's getting the big bill in.
Yeah, how good is that for a young kid hearing that?
That will only like boost his confidence and his self-belief.
Yeah, Michael Conlon is fighting on Saturday against Nicola Cipolletta. Where's Michael Conlon right now?
Michael Conlon's in a good learning period, I think, in his career. This is a good phase for him. These fights are invaluable, and it's about learning his trade, I think. You know, he has all the skills. He has that star quality, and he has all that amateur background and experience.
Is it a difficult period of your career as a fighter when you were going through that, and people say, well, you're learning, you just want to get to the end of it?
Michael, it is, because he's such a big name, such a big profile, that he probably wants to be having big fights. But like, these fights are invaluable, and I mean, he might be frustrated at some point, but I'm sure his dad, and I know Adam, they're saying this is what we need, and he's coming along nicely, I think. You know, him and Jason are a toss-up for our best prospects, and I'm probably doing some other guys disservice, and I'll probably get a few tweets, but...
Well, they're fighting this weekend, so mind.
We'll get the next guys next week.
Andy, great stuff. Thanks a lot for coming in. Enjoy the cinema.
Yeah.
Stars Burn.
Yeah, we'll
see. Tearjerker.
I know, I'm a big softy these days.
We'll get your report next week. We've had Kenny Cunningham's movie reviews. We want Andy Lee's as well.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
Thanks.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.